Take your Bibles and go with me to Luke chapter 9 this morning, Luke chapter number 9 this morning. As you are turning in your Bibles and preparing for the message today, just want to make a couple of other announcements and express a heart of gratitude for the people that are working hard behind the scenes to make this possible. I appreciate each and every one of them, and they've been faithful in being here for each of the services and on-site that we might bring this live stream to each and every family that's able to watch. We have a special connection today. Miss Anita cares for one aspect of the ministry of live streaming, and she informed me this morning that it is her husband's 60th birthday today. And so we do want to send out a special happy birthday to him on this day, and just reminded me to be grateful for the investment that's been made by so many people here at FBT, both on the staff side and on the lay side. And I'm so thankful for all that they do behind the scenes to make this place move forward and to accomplish what we believe to be God's will for our lives. This has definitely gone further than probably any of us expected as to the live streaming ministry. And more churches across the country are now having to do this or to make other arrangements. And I have had a number of folks that have asked me if we can do different things as it relates to this. And we are looking at different options. But for right now, we believe that the message goes out the furthest via live stream. So appreciate each and every one of you tuning in and listening. And let me just encourage you as a family to take the things that I share on Sundays and on Wednesdays and use them in your family devotions or dig deeper into the Word of God. And I pray that it would be a help to each and every family as we walk through these passages of Scripture. Because this has gone further than probably we anticipated, say, a month or so ago, and now this is our third week of live streaming, let me just encourage our church family to be reaching out to one another. And even though we are distant from each other physically, please take the opportunity to reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and it may be through the old school avenue of a card in the mail or a phone call, but it could also be a text message or an email. And we just want to make sure that we're touching base with all that are a part of this flock and looking for ways to invest ourselves in others. I mentioned this in the email yesterday that I sent out, and perhaps there are people on our church roll and you don't know their face and name, but you'd pick up the phone and just call and make the connection and meet people via phone or even via email. And then when we're able to all meet back together face to face, you'd now have what would be a new friend in the flock. And so I pray that we'll be doing our best on a personal level to make sure we reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ. But then as well, I want you to know as a staff and as our leadership of our deacons and ministry team, we're looking for other avenues by which we can reach out to folks and minister through this time of uncertainty and the change in all of our original plans. So again, God bless each and every one of you. I've heard from so many via card or email or text myself, and I appreciate each of you reaching out to us, to me and my family, and I pray that we'll be faithful in reciprocating that. We sure don't want someone to fall through the cracks and miss out on ministering even through this difficult time. If you would, take your Bibles again and look with me at Luke chapter 9 and verse number 57. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 57. We are in a very, very difficult passage this morning. And Christ sets a standard for discipleship in this passage. And in my Bible, there are notes that are given by the editor of the Bible. And on the highlight of these verses, the Bible says, again in my copy, the high cost of discipleship. The high cost of discipleship. I think that's very appropriate. In this passage, we're going to see two different aspects of discipleship and the view of discipleship. We're going to see the me first thought towards discipleship, and then we're going to see what really is in the matter of biblical discipleship and what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Look with me at verse number 57 and follow along in your reading with me if you would. And it came to pass And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray and ask God's direction in this important passage this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach to these dear folks that are tuning in this morning. We thank you for the provision of finances and resources that have made the live streaming here at FBT possible. We're grateful that we can meet through this electronic format. And even in a time where we are distant one from another, we can pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can reach out to them. We can make connections. And by your grace, we can still be a witness to those that we do come into contact with. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the words to say. I pray that we'd be a help to our neighbors and an encouragement to them. We have many around us that are very uncertain and that would lack a relationship with Christ. And yet through this time, they can see a stable people that have founded their lives on a stable word from God. Lord, I do pray that you would direct in this message. Help us in this critical area of discipleship. This is so important for everyone that's tuning in. Perhaps there's someone that doesn't yet know Christ. I pray that today they would get saved. But beyond that, I pray that we'd all be fully committed disciples of Christ. Would you direct me in my thoughts this morning? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Perhaps this is a message in which I am going to preach to myself and allow all of you to tune in and to hear what I would say for my own life. This is an opportunity for me to reflect on my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity for you to think on your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we refer back to a section of scriptures that we've already looked at here in Luke chapter 9. Remember, in the opening of the chapter, the Lord sent out his disciples and they went and they healed people or ministered to them physically. And then they preached the kingdom of God, or they ministered to people spiritually. They had that tandem role of ministering physically and ministering spiritually. And on the heels of their coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ, they had an opportunity to listen to the teaching from the Lord in verses 23 through 27 about the matter of discipleship. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, now we have three different individuals that step forward and make the statement, I will follow thee. They step forward and they say, I'm willing, I will follow thee. But in this matter, we find two different viewpoints of discipleship. Again, we have what I would call the me first opinion of discipleship. And then on the other side, we have the truth and the high cost of discipleship. I've broken it down in two ways. And in one of these points, we're going to look at three verses. And in the other point, we'll look at three verses as well. But let's look first of all at this me first discipleship plan. A couple of the individuals even said, let me first, or suffer me first in discipleship. I call this matter the hesitation for service. The hesitation for service. Look down at verse number 57 and let's look at these hesitant responses to the issue of service. Verse number 57, the Bible says, And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse number 59, And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And then look at the third one, verse number 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Number one this morning, I want to look at the hesitation for service. The hesitation for service. I will follow thee, but let me do these things first. I will follow thee. Lord, I will commit to thee. I will go where you go. I will be with you every step of the way. But let me first care for these other things. As we break down this hesitation for service and we consider the issue of why people hesitate, I believe we see three things in this matter of hesitation. Number one, the number one hesitation is this question. Here it is. How much will it cost? How much will it cost? So often there are individuals that will say, I will do this, and they've never counted the cost. They've never sat down and taken into their study what it means to really follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this man might be saying to the Lord, listen, I love these crowds that are coming to you day after day. I love these miracles that I'm seeing day after day. I just love to be around these messages and all these preaching times and all these teaching times. I love this kind of fellowship. This is fantastic. And I want all of that. But that's not the sum total of what it's going to cost. The first hesitation is that of how much will it cost me? How much will it cost me? The second hesitation that we find here in the passage, we have the first one. How much will it cost? The second one is, can I go on my terms? Can I go on my terms? All three of these individuals have something that causes them to hesitate in following through with the statement, I will follow thee. The first one is saying, how much is it going to cost me? The second one is saying, can I have this on my terms? Look at verse number 59 again. The Bible says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, certainly you and I would understand the nature of burials and things like this. The point is not that the Lord does not want us to care for our family and for those that have passed away. The point is that this individual saying, can I take care of my things first and then I'll follow you? In other words, can I go on my terms? If you'd have your Bibles open, would you turn them over to Matthew chapter number 20? Matthew chapter 20. We won't take time to read this whole story, but I just wanted to highlight this for you. And perhaps in your own personal devotions or in your family devotions, you'd read back through this section of verses and digest what they're saying here in this passage. This is on the heels of Matthew chapter 19, where a man came to Christ and he was very wealthy and he declared that he was willing to follow Christ. But Christ said to him, go and sell that thou hast and follow me. And the man walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ and he walked away from eternal life because he had great riches. On the heels of that story in chapter 19, we transition to chapter 20, and it's the story of a group of individuals that said to Christ, we will work for you, but we want a contract. We will work for you, but we want it on our terms. Look at the opening of Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. We have several different groups of individuals, but he highlights this first group that said, we will not go unless you give us a contract. We want to know exactly what we're going to get out of this. We want to know what's in it for us. And that is the second hesitation when people say that they're willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll often say, well, Lord, I want to follow you, but I want to figure out what it's going to cost me first. And then the second group of people would say, well, Lord, I'm willing to follow you, but I just need to understand the contract. I want to understand what this is going to cost me, and I want to understand if this is on my terms. I won't go unless you tell me what I'm going to receive. You know, that's the nature of Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse number 10, the Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. His service for Almighty God did not live up to what he had as an expectation. It did not live up to what he understood was the nature of the proverbial contract with Almighty God. There's hesitations for people in this matter of service. We often find the hesitation of, how much is it going to cost? And then the second one, can I have service for the Lord on my terms? There's a third one back in Luke chapter 9, and we find it in verse number 61. Here's the third hesitation as it relates to service for the Lord. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. The third hesitation is that of this question. Can I return whenever I want? Three hesitations that people will have in service to the Lord. Number one, how much is it going to cost? I want to know the cost before I commit. Lord, I'll follow you, but I want to know how much it's going to cost. Number two, Lord, I'll follow you, but I want it on my terms. I want to come on my terms. I want a contract. I want you to tell me exactly what's going to be in it for me on this matter. And then the third one, can I return whenever I want? Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Let me first bid them farewell. You know, if it doesn't work out, if it doesn't go like I thought, then I'm able to return. I'm able to renegotiate. I'm able to turn back in the assignment. We find this in Acts chapter 13, in verse number 13. The Bible tells us that Paul and Barnabas took with them John Mark as a servant that would follow them and prepare the necessities of life for them. And so they begin their travel on that first missionary journey. And they set sail, and not long into the trip, the Bible says that John Mark returned back to Jerusalem. And boy, then we see the rest of the missionary journey as it related to Paul and Barnabas and all that they went through in service for the Lord. Can I return whenever I want to? Can I have it on my terms? Can the cost be something that I'm willing to pay? If it doesn't work out, if it doesn't meet up to expectations, can I end my assignment? You know, perhaps there are many that would say, Lord, I'm willing to serve you in this role or that role. And yet God has something very different for you. And so, and understanding that role, you've been in the position of hesitation. I just don't know, Lord. I'm counting the cost and I'll follow you, but this cost seems too great. Lord, I'm willing to follow you, but I want it on my terms. I want the contract in writing. I want to make sure that I understand what I'm going to be getting out of it. Lord, if it gets too tough, Lord, if the persecution is too great, Lord, if the setting is not to my liking, Lord, if it's not in the geographical location that I enjoy most, if it's not amongst my own family, if it's not amongst my own people, if it's not in a place that I really love to be, then Lord, I want to change the terms. I want to be able to go back whenever I want. Well, these are three hesitations for service that are mentioned. But we move from the hesitations for service to the honesty concerning sacrifice. Christ tells the truth to each of these individuals about the nature of discipleship. And we transition from this threesome of the me first ideas on discipleship to honesty in sacrifice. This is what it really means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for all those that are watching this morning, I wonder if you would find yourself primarily in the first group. You've been an individual that through the years has said, Lord, I'm willing to follow you, but I want a contract. Lord, I'm willing to follow you, but I want to see the cost first. Lord, I'm willing to follow you, but if it's not to my liking, then I'll go and do something else. Well, the Lord gives us the truth. The Lord is honest with us about the nature of sacrifice. When we commit to following Him, He wants us to count the cost. He wants us to understand what's involved with this matter. And in fact, again, referring back to Matthew chapter 20, if I could just insert this when you have the time to look at that in more in depth with your own personal devotions or perhaps with your family. As you look at the end of that story, we come to this understanding from that matter. The best idea is to go and serve Christ with no contract and to leave the final results to Him. To leave it up to Him. To give Christ our lives as a blank piece of paper. And to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for whatever place you call me, for whatever the cost would be. Lord, I'm going to trust you through every matter in my life's direction. Honesty in sacrifice. On the one hand, you find hesitation for service. I will follow thee. But on the other hand, you find the honesty as it relates to the sacrifice. Let's look at what the Lord Jesus Christ says. First of all, notice with me in verse number 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Would you understand with me that as we look at the honesty from the Lord Jesus Christ concerning sacrifice, that He's responding to each of these hesitations? On the first hesitation for the individual that said, Lord, I'm willing to follow thee. In this matter of counting the cost, the Lord responds and says this. The prize is not an earthly reward. The prize is not an earthly reward. The Lord says foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The things of this world that we so often become attached to are not the ultimate prize for the one that commits to following Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 33, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The necessities of life will be taken care of when we commit ourselves to seeking the kingdom of God first. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. We're familiar with verse 4, but let me read all the way through verse number 4. The Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, believers, let us that are pressing for that high calling of God in Christ Jesus, let us, therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. Believers, for those that are watching right now, would you listen to me? We should all be thus minded. Working, laboring, sacrificing for the prize that is not of this earth, but for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible goes on to say there in Philippians chapter 3, if anything in ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So he gives the statement. He says, I press towards this prize, this heavenly award, this heavenly reward. I'm working towards that. And then he turns to all of us and he says, and again, the Apostle Paul says to us, be thus minded. The prize for serving Christ is not of this world. It is of the next world. We as believers have stuff. We all have a certain level of stuff. In the United States of America, we are abundantly blessed. We have a roof over our head. We have vehicles that transport us, for the most part, anywhere that we would like to go. We have resources that we can utilize from our income. We have been blessed, and we have a lot of stuff in this world. But the stuff is not to be the source that we are living for. The Bible tells us that all of that stuff has been given to us so that we might be stewards of those things. And God has afforded all of them to us that we might in turn use them for His honor and glory. I'm not striving for the stuff that this world has to offer. We're striving for the Master. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, when you sit down and count this matter of discipleship, if you think in following me that you're going to have the life of luxury and the lap that is paid for and everything is met and every need is there and every want is provided, oh, my friend, understand that the earth and the things of this earth are not our ultimate goal. We strive and we serve and we labor and we sacrifice because we are looking to that eternal reward. The Lord Jesus Christ begins this matter by saying, understand first of all that the prize is not an earthly reward. In Mark chapter 10, in verses 28 to 31, the Bible says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. You see, my friend, we are laboring today because Christ offers us a prize that is not of this world, but is of the heavenly side. He says to this first one that said, I will follow thee, understand that the prize is not of this earth. Number two, the second statement concerning sacrifice and the truth given as the Lord is honest with all of these individuals. He says, number one, the prize is not an earthly reward. But number two, there is no time to waste. Look at the word of God says in verse number 60. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Boy, at first reading, we might think to ourselves that the Lord was being callous to this individual. But again, you have to keep in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ knows everything. The Lord knew everything about this man's family, everything about this man's life, and more importantly, he knew everything about this man's hesitation. And he says, let me first go and do these things. And the Lord says, listen, the time is now. There is no time to waste. In John chapter 4 and verse number 35, as the woman at the well was returning from the city with these individuals that were coming to hear from Christ, as she's returning with this host of individuals, Jesus turns and looks to the disciples, and he makes this statement in verse number 35 of John chapter 4. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The time is now. We do not have time to waste. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, today's the starting day. Today's the day of sign up. Today's the day of commitment. There's no time to waste. We have family members that are dying without Jesus Christ. We have neighbors that are dying without Jesus Christ. We have co-workers that are dying without Jesus Christ. We have a foreign field that's dying without Jesus Christ. There is no time to waste. In this time in our nation's history, we're inundated with 24/7 news, and on most news feeds, they have the ticker as it's related to the virus and to the number that are infected in different countries, and specifically our country. And then down below the number of cases, it always gives the number of those that have passed away. And as we watch that number increase every day, we might think to ourselves, oh my goodness, that's a large number. But understand that number does not even begin to compare with the number of people that are going into eternity of all causes. And we have the mandate to go forth and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be His servants, to make these sacrifices. Instead of being of the mindset, me first, me first, me first, it's the mindset, you first. The kingdom first. Lord, today's the day of sign up, and I'm signing up and I'm not looking back. I'm going to give my all for the kingdom's sake. The Lord is honest with all three of these individuals. They said, we'll follow. And the Lord makes the first statement and makes them aware of this fact as they consider this day of sign up. You know, man, I want you to know the prize is not an earthly reward. He makes them aware of the second matter. There is no time to waste. Let's get right to it. And then there's a third matter in verse number 62. And the Bible says there in verse number 62, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The prize is not an earthly reward. There is no time to waste. And number three in this matter of sacrifice, there's no use for a double-minded man. There is no use for a double-minded man. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24. No man can serve two masters. James 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There is no use for a double-minded man. We need to be solely focused in on service for the King. We give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, not for the contract, but as a blank sheet of paper, not with the me first attitude of discipleship, but with the seek ye first the kingdom of God attitude towards discipleship. Boy, what a statement that the Lord has given to us here. No man having put his hand to the plow is fit. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In closing, I'm reminded of a couple specific stories. One of them, or several specific things. One of them is a song. And I tell you, when you read these verses and then think on this song, and perhaps in the quietness of your living room or the quietness of the opportunity with your family, you'd even remember these words and perhaps even sing them together. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. Would you meditate upon the words of that song to even today? I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm reminded as well of another story. It's given to us, and it's perhaps very well known. It's given to us from the story of William Borden. And I won't take time to read the entirety of the story because I want to share one other lengthier one with you today. But William Borden wrote in his Bible three different phrases, and you can look this up on the computer, and perhaps it'd be a great challenge for your kids to be able to read this story. But through William Borden's life, he made three different statements in his Bible about his service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they really relate to this passage as well. William Borden said that he was going to serve Christ with no reserves. He was going to serve Christ with no retreats. And he was going to serve Christ with no regrets. William Borden gave his life and sacrificed for the service of the King. Let me close with one more thing that means something to me and my family as we've been afforded the opportunity to travel to this historic site. I believe that my wife and boys would agree with me when I say that one of our favorite places to go was the corridor in Texas between Houston and San Antonio and then up to the Dallas area. And we've traveled there on a number of different occasions and we've taken in so many of the historical sites. We were blessed to live in East Tennessee and there were a lot of connections from East Tennessee to the state of Texas. From our very county in East Tennessee, we were blessed with a historical figure called Davy Crockett. And Davy Crockett sacrificed his life at a place in San Antonio, Texas called the Alamo. And on a couple of different occasions, we've been given the opportunity to go to San Antonio and to see this place. And I want to read to you from some of the story from that historical event. And I will acknowledge that there's debate as to whether or not this actually occurred, but I do want you to see a couple of things about the nature of sacrifice that was made from both those Texans and those Tennesseans as they gave their lives for the freedom of America. Would you listen to me as I read from some of this story and to some of the historical aspects from this story at the Alamo? According to the Texas legend, in the last days of the long battle for the Alamo, the mission was surrounded by the Mexican troops and defeat was certain. Colonel Travis had been told by the enemy commander to surrender or else his entire force would be killed. Knowing this, he gathered his men, took out his sword, and drew a line in the dirt. He asked his men to choose their fate, surrender and leave the Alamo, or cross the line and join him in defending the compound to the death. No turning back. According to the tale, all but one of the Texas heroes joined Colonel Travis on the other side of the dirt line. By March the 5th of 1836, Colonel William Barrett Travis had known for several days that his situation inside the old Spanish mission called the Alamo had become hopeless. Several thousand soldiers under the command of the Mexican general Santa Anna had Travis and some 189 other defenders surrounded. The young Texas colonel was only 26 years old. He was a lawyer and not a professional military man, but Travis knew enough history to understand that in a siege, the army on the outside usually prevails over the army on the inside. So he gathered his fellow defenders that Saturday afternoon and gave them a speech. "We must die," he began. "Our business is not to make a fruitless effort to save our lives, but to choose the manner of death. We understand from all that took place that there are some of these facts that are disputed as to whether or not they occurred. But on that day, we understand this truth. There was a certain outcome of the battle, and on March the 6th, Santa Anna's forces breached the walls and they killed every Texas combatant. No one disputes the outcome of the battle, but historians are still fighting over whether or not the sword story is true. What is irrefutable is that the story of Travis drawing a line in the sand with his sword, be it truth or legend, gave Texas, America, and eventually the world one of its most enduring metaphors. The line in the sand metaphor gets its power because it represents something that is absolutely true. Making a courageous decision often comes with a high price. On the upside, that courageous decision usually proves to be the right one, even if it takes years for people to appreciate it. It might cost your life or your office, but chances are someday you will be remembered for doing the right thing by crossing that figurative line in the sand. Christ is looking beyond the Me Too of discipleship. And Christ is saying to each one of us, here's the line in the sand for biblical sacrifice. It is my prayer this morning that each of us as believers would cross that line and have a life that will count for eternity. The high cost of discipleship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak yet again to these dear folks. Thank you for this passage of Scripture that has been so convicting to me over these days of study. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that I have to be able to speak out over these airwaves and to deliver the Word of God. In truth, I have nothing to set before these folks, but the Word of God contains all that is necessary for life and godliness. And in this passage, we find a very probing matter of conviction to every believer. Am I willing to move beyond the me first of discipleship? Am I willing to make the sacrifice to sell out for that prize that only heaven provides? Lord, would you work in each heart and life today? Again, if there be one that does not know Christ as their Savior, it may be a young child today that's listening and could be an adult, but they've never personally put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would today be the day that they repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation? And then, Lord, for all the young people that have that blank piece of paper that they can present to the Lord Jesus Christ, even right now, and say, Lord, I'm not going to live for me first anymore. I want to live for you. May this be their day of commitment. May this be the day that they cross that line in the sand and give their all for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for our time together today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.